Hey everyone, it's Amy Lynn Durham and you're listening to Create Magic at Work. Create Magic at Work is on a mission to equip senior leaders with tools they need to be a true servant leader and actually understand what that means. Improve employee engagement, retain top talent, and transform your workplace culture to have less stress and drama. So let's start making magic. Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Create Magic at Work. I'm very excited for our guest today. Sean Moore is here with us. He's a keynote speaker and entrepreneur. He's passionate about diversity, equity, and inclusion, nonprofit management. He has a strong background in organizational and business development, as well as strategic planning and implementation. I asked Sean to be on the show today because I actually have worked with Sean for many years in the past. And I wanted him to bring his expertise in diversity, equity, inclusion, and change management and his thoughts on that to all of our listeners. So, Sean, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
In case I missed something, can you tell the audience a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. So, for the last 20 years, I've worked in telecom. Mostly, and what's interesting about that is that's an industry that's constantly changing and reinventing itself, almost at breakneck pace. So I think that's kind of set up a lot of my experience with change management and dealing with constant change and how to get teams on board and behind initiatives, because sometimes they're changing faster than you can keep pace with them. Other than that, I have a consulting company where I consult organizations on culture, diversity, inclusion, change management, servant leadership, things of that nature.
Love it. One of the skills in SQ, in quadrant four, we talk about SQ a lot here at Create Magic at Work, spiritual intelligence. And one of the skills in quadrant four is being a wise and effective change agent. And so I would love for you to bring your insights on what you think an effective change agent is, and maybe some tips for the listeners on how they can be one.
Sure. I think the biggest lesson I've learned over the last 20 years is you have to reduce your ego and take it out of the equation. And it's a very difficult thing to do, especially when change is kind of thrust upon you without you anticipating it or even being prepared for it. A lot of times you can fall into a mentality of like, why is this happening to me? When in reality, we live in a universe of change. It's constantly changing. And so the question is not like, why is this happening to you? But why do you think that you're somehow impervious to these changes that are happening everywhere all the time? And so I think once you can get to a place where you recognize that, and then you can take your emotions and your ego out of the equation, you can be a much more effective change agent, because it allows you to see through to the end result, the solution. And also, I've learned that there's opportunity in change. A lot of times we can't see the opportunity because we're so focused on the change itself and why things are different that we don't get to see how this could actually benefit us or make things better. And I think if you operate from that standpoint, it helps you alleviate other people's anxiety and stress around the change. And it also helps you coach them through it.
Yeah, really, really great stuff. Thank you for bringing up ego. We talk about that a lot here at Create Magic at Work. Skill five in SQ is learning how to differentiate your ego from your higher self. And it's that place within you that the higher self is that place within you that comes from wisdom and compassion. And when you were talking about how everyone experiences change and how you get frozen or you fight or you run, fight, flight, freeze when you feel attacked or when you're in that ego mode, that was so insightful. I just want to repeat what you shared, that these are experiences that everyone goes through. And it's not just you that's experiencing things. And we talk about also, you know, why not you, right?
Yeah.
Why did you think you would be exempt from the universe's changes that occur?
Right.
Right?
Yeah. And I think when you highlight that, you realize, oh, it is my ego that we're talking about there, right? Because you realize you're part of something bigger and that you, it's almost ridiculous to assume that somehow you would not be involved in the forces of nature.
I was watching a leadership video yesterday, and some of the greatest things in people's lives have come out of what they thought was the worst thing ever.
Yep, absolutely.
And it just, if you can stick through whatever you're going through and come out the other side, I kind of envision like pushing the trees back in the forest and finally you made it to the clearing. Like, right. You're going to be okay, right? I'm getting off on a tangent, but it's so important, especially in the workplace, because there's a lot of ego in the workplace, right? So yeah. On that note, from all of your change management studies and background as a leader, what are some ways that you put your day-to-day concerns aside and operate from that place of higher motivation or higher self or that big picture view?
Well, one thing I have to do is make time for myself, and I have to be kind of regimental about that. So I need, you know, it's very difficult to wake up in the morning. You have all these concerns on your mind and then jump straight into work because you carry all that with you. And so for me, I'm very clear about setting intentions, right? So going through the day, saying, okay, this is what I want to accomplish. This is what's important. If it's something that's in my personal life that isn't necessarily reflect within the workplace, I take time to reflect, meditate, whatever, exercise. You know, I go for a walk in the morning, clear my head. As long as that needs to be, sometimes that's 30 minutes, sometimes that's an hour, I plan intentionally for that. So instead of saying, at this time I'm going to wake up, if I'm really stressed, I'm like, hey, I got to go on a longer walk this morning or jog or whatever it is, and I'm going to take an hour. And so I don't start my day until that is done, because if I don't clear through those emotions, they carry through into my workplace, and then it affects the decisions I make in the workplace, and then that is my ego taking over, right? Because I'm just thinking about me as opposed to, hey, I'm responsible to a team. I'm responsible to an organization. It's about more than just me. And so I don't want to operate from a place where I'm thinking solely about how this affects me and what I need to do. It needs to be about, like, you know, I need to be more deliberate in my actions. Like, I slow down intentionally and say, I think about, like, how is my decision going to affect those who work with me? How is that going to affect the organization? Does it align with my principles? Does it align with the organization's principles? And I think when you really slow down, you kind of you minimize your ego. It's impossible to get rid of your ego, but you can at least minimize it to where you're not just thinking about yourself.
Yeah. In spiritual intelligence, we talk about PQ, physical intelligence, being kind of at the bottom of the pyramid, almost like Maslow's hierarchy. And yeah. It goes, you know, PQ, IQ, EQ, SQ. And to me, you're sort of describing how can I access my higher self, that place of wisdom and compassion as a leader, if that bottom of that pyramid isn't in place, that PQ.
Absolutely.
So for you, having those intentional mornings, waking up, doing the walk, you get your PQ set, you have a good night's sleep, you've got a decent breakfast, and then you can go on. And because nobody that stayed up all night or didn't eat right, or, you know, it's really hard to access your higher self if you don't feel good, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so it sounds simple, but it's a crucial step.
I'm going to say, and it's a crucial not just to start the day that way, but to continue it, you know? So like, I actually may force myself to take a break every 2 hours or so, just even if it's just 5 minutes to think about, okay, am I on track with what I wanted to complete today? Because a lot of times you can get caught up in the moment and then, oh, wow, it's 4 o'clock and I've done absolutely nothing I wanted to accomplish today. And then, you know, that just adds to the pressure and the feeling of stress. So it's important for me, at least, to kind of set those blocks and just, I really have to force myself to adhere to them.
Don't you hate those days where you've worked like all day and you're like, I have no idea what I did today?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like the stuck in the zombie computer space and you're like, what did I even do?
Right. Yeah. You look back and like, okay, so this is what I wanted to do and I did nothing I did today aligned with what I wanted to get taken care of. And so I think that just kind of compounds your stress and your anxiety, especially if you're going through, you know, a change. You feel like you're not making any headway. And so for me, I have to force myself to stop and check, like, hey, what I just did over the last 2 hours, did that accomplish my goals? And if it didn't, you know, if what is in front of me is more important than what I set out to accomplish, then I need to realign my goals to make sure that everything is in sync.
Yeah, definitely. And I keep referencing SQ here because Create Magic at Work is a lot about SQ. But one of the skills is, have you stack ranked your values? do you have a values hierarchy? Because it's so wonderful to sit down and do that, because then when you're in a life decision moment, you can say, okay, what are my values in this season of my life? I chose family as number one. No, I can't work late. I'm going to go to my children's play. Or no, I actually chose career as my number one priority because I'm saving for my kids' college fund. I'm just, you know, making this separate. So I am going to work late. But when you make those decisions aligned with who you think and say you are, and you live that way, you experience more peace and more happiness because of that.
I also think that if you don't do that, that breeds resentment. And so when you're going through a period of change and it's already a stressful environment, and then you have resentment on top of that, that leads to quick burnout.
Yeah, absolutely. So compassion.
Yep.
Tell me what you think a compassionate leader is, and maybe tie it into diversity, equity, and inclusion. I'd like to get into that a little bit.
I think a compassionate leader, if I were to define it, would be someone who recognizes that all of us go through struggles. They might be different, but we're all struggling with something. And that, you know, I really hate the old adage, you know, hang your attitude outside, don't bring it to work. That's almost impossible. We're human, right? Like, if you've got a lot of turmoil in your personal life, it's going to affect your work life, whether you want it to or not. You might try to minimize it. So I think what ends up happening is, like, we just put on a mask and we don't really reveal our true selves at work. I think a compassionate leader encourages people to be authentic and recognizes, like, hey, a lot of times, you know, something I've learned personally is people don't know how to help you if you don't reach out and say, I need help, you know. And a lot of times in the workplace, that's almost taboo, because we don't want to talk about people's personal lives. You know, we really want to try and manage that line between professional and personal, when really I don't think you can delineate them. Just to give you an example, just talking to your employees, I hate to say employee, let's say team members, just talking to your team members, you get to understand where they're coming from, and that helps you make better decisions that impact them in a meaningful way. So for instance, let's say you were my coworker. You had childcare at 5 and I called my team meetings at 6:30. You will probably be hesitant to say, hey, I can't do that. And if I don't know that about you, I'm making a decision that's always going to put you in this predicament. And that's not a compassionate leader, because I'm just making decisions that are in what I think are the best interests of the group.
Yeah, really good. And I think when you said, you know, hang your attitude outside, it reminds me, yeah, we can't do that. And we've talked in the past on past episodes, and I've talked with clients, you know, I want to put the mask down. I've heard people say, I want to be my authentic self. And the most profitable and productive thing a company can do, which is so amazing to me that it's a win-win, is foster that environment where employees, leaders, everybody can be their authentic self. And maybe instead of saying, hang your attitude outside, maybe we switch that to try to leave your ego at the door and work from a place of your higher self. Because if I'm operating from my higher self, by default, people around me will start rising to that occasion and they'll start operating from their higher self. So I love how you mentioned that. I want to talk about your background in diversity. And if you're comfortable, can you sort of share your journey as far as how you started at work, how you got into that, and how you ended up studying and being a speaker for change with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think my first kind of real taste of diversity and inclusion was when we worked for GameStop and they were pushing the employee resource groups. So I was the president of Alliance and kind of helped get that off the ground with goals, initiatives, membership, trainings. And so that kind of gave me a real taste for diversity and what things could be. Because as you're aware, you're the president of Women at Tech Brands. It was almost a full-time job outside of our already full-time job. It was a lot of work, but it didn't feel necessarily like work because it was rewarding. So, you know, I put a lot into it. I gave up a lot of my personal time, but I felt good doing it. And I wasn't resentful or bitter, be like, hey, I'm not getting paid for this, or, you know, the company's just taking advantage of me, because it really had, it had a visible impact on not only the employees, but within the community as a whole. And so that kind of got me interested, that not kind of, that did get me interested in diversity and inclusion. And as I kind of moved jobs, I realized that this was something that was sorely missing in the workplace. I was actually fortunate enough to work for a company that did embrace this and did push it out there. A lot of the companies that I worked for after, and even before, it wasn't something that was on their radar. And I've actually worked for some where they really kind of tried to keep people from talking about diversity and inclusion, which is almost kind of the wrong thing to do. And so for me, I decided, hey, there's a need for it. And so let me go get myself educated on it. And I can take that skill set and advise companies on how they can build a better and more inclusive work environment.
Hi, everyone. Amy here. Are you looking to create a life with more inner and outer peace, regardless of the situation? Gain unexpected insights into your leadership strengths by taking the SQ21 assessment. Expand your understanding of leadership skills like being a wise and effective change agent, servant leadership, and get tips to operate from a place of peace and wisdom from within. The SQ21 assessment, a faith-neutral instrument, allows you to examine where you are today on developing and sustaining the 21 skills of spiritual intelligence. I'm a certified SQ21 coach, and I offer a one-time, one-on-one experience with the SQ21 assessment that helps you have less stress, more balance, and bring more value and meaning to your work and your life. Go to createmagicatwork.net and click Work with Me to get started on your transformational journey. I'd love to hear from you. You can connect with me on LinkedIn under Amy Lynn Durham and send me a direct message, and we can get you started that way as well. Sending magic to everyone.
And so in hearing everything that you're saying, I have quite a few thoughts. My first thought is that oftentimes in the workplace, like you said, companies might not want to talk about certain topics because they feel like they might say the wrong thing and then have some sort of backlash or something like that. I've also been in environments where diversity, equity, and inclusion has felt very divisive and very not connecting. What I loved about you and the way you led Alliance was it was very open to connecting and to your authenticity. Elaborate on that. Like, why do you think some companies have that, or DE&I in general has that angry, divisive feeling at times? And then what did you do to make it feel so connecting, or what can people do to not be afraid to ask questions or connect?
Well, I think there's a couple things. One, I think overall, DEI is looked at as something to do just because, hey, we want to say we're diverse, and it's not really a guiding principle within the organization. It's destined to fail because then it feels more like an imposed program as opposed to like, hey, I want to be a part of this. And I think the reason that a lot of companies minimize people from talking about certain topics is because they're not equipped to handle themselves. Like, you have to first educate yourself in order to be able to handle that conversation. And if it's not something that they're interested in, then I think their knee-jerk reaction is just to, okay, we're not going to talk about this in the workplace. But the reality is, we're all humans, we all interact, and we're going to talk about our personal lives. You know, like being an LGBTQ member myself, I remember many times where people would ask, hey, you know, are you married? And it's like, okay, I'm stuck with this decision. Do I tell them I'm gay? Do I say no? If I say no, they're going to kind of be like, that's weird. Like, that's because I come off as kind of like dismissive. You know, there's a lot of things that go into it. And it's not just unique to LGBTQ members. You know, women in the workplace face that. Minorities in the workplace face that. Differently abled people face that. There's all kinds of things that just through everyday interaction force us to put the mask up because we're not taught in a corporate environment how to talk about that openly and acceptingly. And so I think that leads to that. And then when I was at Alliance, how I really wanted to come about it was really just, it's, you know, I focus on, it's not just for one community. It's for everyone. Anyone who wanted to join, wanted to learn. I didn't have a set agenda. I really just took topics and said, these are things that, you know, like, I'll give you an example about pronoun use and like transgender and gender identity. Those are topics that come up in the workplace and they can be difficult to talk about. Even for myself, you know, going through that whole process, I realized how sorely undereducated I was as an LGBTQ member around transgender issues, just because I haven't had personal experience with that. And so I had to then take my, you know, I had to educate myself and then bring that to as a to a platform and say, this is what gender identity is. This is what gender expression is. Here's why pronouns matter. And then that will facilitate people to, I think, carry the conversation forward amongst themselves or even with me.
Yeah, really good. I think the self-education piece is very important. To me, even more important is the openness to connect and explain with others if they're not understanding, but if they're inquisitive, right? If they want to connect and if they don't understand, you know, not to be defensive, but to connect. I just have seen that in person and it just seems to be so important in the workplace, right? And when you talked about somebody asking you if you're married, you know, the awareness that your worldview is not the only worldview, SQ.
Correct, yeah.
The awareness that there are other worldviews, that there are other lives, that you are not the main character in everybody's story either. You might be a side character, right? Like the world does not operate exactly how your experience is. And that's so huge, you know, understanding that. I do think because this is the majority of leadership position holders are, you know, white men, straight, allegedly, right? Just kidding. And so, you know, just to think that, you know, to understand that when you ask somebody, hey, are you married, understanding they might be going through something, a sense of fear as to whether to answer that, just knowing that, you know, is a pretty deep thing. And that puts you into that wise and compassionate leader space.
Yeah.
Because when you're operating from that, it's like, wow, I had no idea Sean had turmoil just answering whether he was married or not, right?
Yeah, and I mean, that's just my personal experience. I'm sure there's people who are farther, you know, like I'll give you an example. I did have an employee one time who was homeless and I didn't even know that. And I just asked that, you know, it came about organically, like I wasn't hunting, but I found out that this person was homeless. Fortunately, at work, we had a charitable fund and were able to get them some help, but they would never have known that if we hadn't taken the time to discover it. And so it wasn't something that they were obviously for, you know, like who wants to say I'm homeless and I'm working, you know, they had kids and everything else. It was a pretty dire situation. But again, I think that's where being a compassionate leader and saying, hey, let me help you. You know, we didn't have to do that. We could have just said, well, thanks for showing up today. I got to go, you know, like most people. Also, I think it's important to, one thing I want to talk about is creating psychological safety. We talk about safe spaces, but it's not necessarily about the space. It's more about psychological safety. Like someone has to feel like they're okay here, that they can talk about it, that, you know, even if, you know, I think going back to like the transgender and gender identity and expression issues, a lot of people are afraid to say the wrong thing. So they just don't say anything at all.
Right.
And that's the whole wrong approach. Like, it's okay. Mistakes are going to happen. Like myself, I make mistakes. As humans, we don't grow or evolve without making mistakes. But I think to shut down the conversation for fear of some kind of mistake is the whole wrong approach, because like the conversation is going to happen whether you shut it down or not. But what will really happen is it's going to come to a head without a natural dialogue. And then it does create conflict in the workplace.
Yeah, I love it. It's like, let's get uncomfortable. Don't be afraid to say the wrong thing and let's connect, right?
Right.
Yeah. It's like, that's such a great point. And it ties into being a change agent, right? Just what you talked about with your employee that you discovered was homeless. Rather than rushing through the day, you took a moment to have a conversation. Wise and compassionate decisions, being a change agent. If you're a change agent in the workplace, you do not rush to quick fixes. You stop and you take a moment to ask more questions to uncover the real root cause of the problem. And then you fix that. And then we have systemic change.
Yeah. And I always stop to consider, like, you know, one thing I always have to ask myself is check my ego. Like, how is this? Am I making this decision because of my perspective or is this from an informed perspective, right? So I think one of the biggest problems I see in leadership is they don't ask enough. They don't ask for feedback enough. They're willing to give feedback, but they don't ask. They don't solicit it. And so without that, it's really hard for you to decide, you know, or not to, it's really hard for you to decipher whether or not your ego is making that decision or your higher self is, because you're not really going to know if you don't get feedback. If someone says, hey, you know, this doesn't really work for me, then I know, okay, that was probably a little bit of my ego, or maybe I misinterpreted something. So it's really important, I think, from leadership to solicit feedback constantly from the team. You know, the way I look at it, my team doesn't work for me. I work for them. And so I always have to come from the viewpoint of, you know, does this benefit the team over myself?
Awesome. So what does servant leadership mean to you?
Servant leadership to me, well, means lots of things. But if I were to define it, I think servant leadership is leading with a purpose. It is the best thing I could boil it down to. I think a lot of people lead within their roles or within their job descriptions, but servant leadership is really recognizing that you're here for a higher purpose than just to fill a role or a job description. And the way I look at it is I always want the interactions I have with my team and my coworkers at the end of whatever at the end of that process looks like, I want them to have grown and it to have been meaningful. And if it's not, then somehow I'm failing them as a servant leader, because anyone who comes into my orbit should take away something and learn and grow, as should I. You know, just interacting with them, I gain additional experience, additional perspective. And so as a servant leader, I think that you have to continually lead with purpose in mind. You know, like for me, I have a very defined set of principles. Those don't change very often. So the things around me may change, but the principles stay the same. And so that is kind of how I serve my team, because they know that this is what they can look forward to me in leadership.
Love it. If you could give one piece of advice to the leaders that are listening as to why they should build connection through diversity, what would you say to them and why should they do it?
I think a lot of people look at diversity as a demographic. Diversity in sex, diversity in race, diversity in gender, diversity in, you know, sexual orientation. And really what diversity is, a diversity in perspective and a diversity in collaboration. And so everyone has a unique perspective. If you can encourage people to bring that to the table, you can solve problems much faster, you can solve them much more efficiently, and you get to a place where your team works together and solves problems before they even arise, because they're like, hey, we care about the whole. And, you know, the whole not my job thing kind of goes out the window, because everyone's working as a team, as a collective team. You'll notice your retention rates go down, or go up, actually. Sorry, I should say your attrition rates go down. Mm-hmm. And that your team is much more efficient and collaborative, because they feel more like a family, really, than just a bunch of people in an office occupying the space.
Yeah.
With an assigned role and duty.
Connecting, employee engagement goes up. Because why? They feel safe and they feel like they don't have to fake who they are in the workplace. And guess what? When you start showing up as your authentic self, you have inspiration, you have innovation, you have creativity, and you set yourself apart from your competitors when you do that.
And they also feel that their input and contributions are valued. Even if, you know, like if I were to give you a suggestion, you didn't take it, at least you heard my suggestion. Whereas if you're not very inclusive, or just to give you an example, if you're the only woman in a group of men on leadership, anything you say that's contrarian is going to seem as, you're going to feel self-conscious about that. So you may be more hesitant to say something in that group just because there's not enough diversity in thought and in perspective. And so that you can, from what I learned through diversity inclusion, is that just by not having a diverse workforce, you can actually shut down unintentionally conversations and people from contributing without really meaning to, just because they feel like, you know, for instance, I'm a gay man, if I were to speak up on a gay issue, everyone's going to say, oh yeah, of course he's going to say that because he's a gay man. And so that creates that environment of where you feel less inclined to contribute, less inclined to say something if you see something's wrong, simply because you're such a greater representation of that minority.
Yeah. And as a leader, having that knowledge is so important because then you really make sure that that those individuals get a voice.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be divisive or anything angry. It's just the knowledge there that, wow, maybe this person, we need to hear them and make sure we hear their ideas, right? And then they feel connected.
And to carry this through, you asked about, you know, what would be my message to leaders is, these are your customers. These are your clients. They're not all, you know, 30 to 50 white male. They're completely diverse, especially if you want to be really robust in the marketplace. You're going to have to sell your services or your software or your products to everyone. And so having that representation, you get to understand how your products filter down to that group, to your client base, and you can make decisions that will incorporate the viewpoints of your clients into your corporate culture.
Yeah. Quantum leadership at its finest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Sean, I'm going to pull a card for you. I do it for every guest from my journal prompt card deck. It's a message from the universe for you and for everyone listening.
Okay.
All right. This one's jumping out. Oh, so we got passion.
Okay.
Everyone's affirmation listening is, I have great power within and I recognize when inspiration strikes me. We had a very inspiring conversation today, so that was cool. And answer this question.
Okay.
With regard to my career, what am I passionate about?
What I'm really passionate about, I would say, is understanding other people's worldviews, because that broadens mine. And so, you know, for instance, I don't always agree politically or even spiritually or emotionally with everyone, but I do want to understand. I don't think that there's a one truth out there, like our whole collective truth comes together. And so I want to understand, like, why I want to engage people. Let me give you an example. I relocated from California to Texas. And as I've mentioned earlier, I am a member of the LGBTQ community. And so I don't want to say it's contentious, but there are people who don't want to, they don't understand viewpoints. And likewise, I didn't grow up in a religious household, so I don't understand some of the things that go into a religion. And so what really took a lot for me is to seek that out and understand, like, why would someone come from this viewpoint, right? And not from a place of indictment, right? But more like, what, you know, maybe their experience is different. And what's unique is I wanted to find common ground, because, like, you can't really have a dialogue if you don't share common ground. What I found is, although the label may be different, the experiences are not. And so we all at some point want to feel validated. We all at some point want to feel accepted. We all at some point want to feel loved. And we've all had the absence of that in our life. And so if you can speak to that, I think you can understand that, like, we're not different. Like, you know, like, you may not like LGBTQ people, but you can understand their struggle. And that gives you much more humanity in understanding, like, why these things are important, as opposed to just saying, oh, you know, it's not an issue I care about.
In skill 19 for SQ, there's an exercise you can do for making wise and compassionate decisions. And you close your eyes and you envision that other person. And you say, just like me, this person is trying to avoid pain. Just like me, this person wants to experience joy in life. Just like me. And it, you know, it goes on and it opens up that space and that another skill. Yeah, again, we're talking about a lot of skills today.
That's good.
That is the awareness of the interconnectedness of life, right? It's all tied together. So yeah. Thanks for sharing that. That was really profound, actually.
Yeah.
Sean, where can people get a hold of you if they want your consulting for diversity or your anything? Share where they can get in touch with you.
Well, you can reach out to me at Sean V. Moore. That's S-E-A-N. V as in Vincent, Moore, M-O-O-R-E, at gmail.com. Or my cell phone's always on. It's 510-366-8385.
Wow, giving out your number on the air. That's big.
Yeah.
That's courageous right there. And then also...
Lead by example. Okay?
And then also LinkedIn, right? You're on LinkedIn under Sean Moore.
Oh yeah, LinkedIn, LinkedIn.com/Sean-Vincent-Moore.
Well, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for having this conversation. I want to thank you for your courage to step forward and be your authentic self in any space in your life. And when you do that, you lead the way for others to take their mask off, and we have a much more connected world. So thank you for everything you shared today, and thank you for that.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Hey, everyone. It's Amy here. Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Create Magic at Work. And please come back often and subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. Keep joining us for more exciting episodes where we help you transform workplace culture to systems that create less trauma and stress and have high productivity and profitability. You can get your own tools for the workplace at createmagicatwork.net. I have a new Create Magic at Work, the journal, that just released, and it invites you to reflect about different themes for work and your career. Each section of the journal contains a topic, an affirmation, and two prompt questions to help you journal your thoughts. Topics are like inspiring others, mentorship, expansion, and productivity. So connect with me at createmagicatwork.net. Also connect with me on LinkedIn under Amy Lynn Durham. Sending magic to everyone, and see you next time.